Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Kuf Chof Hei. Begin on the bottom of Kuf Chof Dal Mabez, second line up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had mentioned on the previous daf and the daf before that, talking about the halachas of a Bechor, regarding the firstborn, which is the topic of our parak, regarding the halachas of inheritance. Now there was a Braisa, which the Gemara had said is a Machlikis Rebbe and the Rabbanan, where Rebbe holds that a Shvach that the Yisoymin made after Misa Savien, that the Bechor does not take a double portion, but if it's a shivcha de b'meila, by it happened the increase by itself, like the birth of a calf that with they didn't have to pay anything for the cow because it was grazing out in the pasture, eating grass that's hefker. For that, the bechor does shear a double portion from the Yerusha. Now, regards to the opinion of the Rabban, however, who hold that a shivcha de b'meila, no, the bechor does not take a double portion. It has to be becholish or yematzle, whatever is there at the time of the father's death. Even if it's an automatic increase, the Bechor does not take a double portion. In the opinion of the Rabbanan, the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, there's Machlekes of Yehuda Mishmul, and what we call the Shalchu Mitam, those from Eretz Yisrael that had sent the following halacha regarding if a Bechor takes a double portion by a milva, by a loan. Yehuda Mishmul says that no, that the Bechor does not take a double portion regarding the loan, because it's the father has no chazaka whatsoever. If by shivcha de meila where the father had something, it just got better, the bechor does not take a double portion. So by a loan where the money is not even by him at all, it's by the debtor, and all he has is a piece of paper, for sure the bechor is not going to take a double portion. However, the Shalach Mitam disagreed in the opinion of the Rabban, and they said that no, the Bechor does take a double portion by the milva, not by the ribbis part, but by the loan part, because it's like a mashkin. When the father has a document, it's like he has the debt in his hands, and it's like he's muchzik, and therefore, even according to Rabban, the whole Shevach of the Mela, the Bechor does not take a double portion, by milva he would take a double portion. Now, in that opinion of the Shalach Mitam, the Gemara brought a Machligis Rabba and Rav Nachman, regarding this, that the Bechor does take a double portion when the Yesayimim finally collect the debt that was owed to their father from this loan, what collection is it that they're collecting that the Bechor will get a double portion? Rabbi said specifically if they collect land, then the Bechor will take a double portion, because the land is that the father had a shibud on that. It's like almost like he had that as collateral, as a mashkin, and therefore it's like the father had it, and therefore he's a muchzig, and that's when the Bechor takes a double portion. Whereas when they collect money, where the money that the father never had, because the money that he lent is spent, the money that he's getting back, he was never muchzig, then the Bechor does not take a double portion. Whereas Rav Nachman said the opposite. He said when they collect money, then the Bechor does have a double portion, because he lent money and they're getting back money, so it's like it was always the father's money. Whereas when they collect land, then the Bechor does not take a double portion because that's not what he lent. And therefore, what they're getting back is not what the father was ever mochzik in. And therefore, regarding that, the Bechor does not get a double portion. That was the Machlokes Rabba and Rav Nachman. And that continues our Gemara. Amalei Abaye l'Rabba. Abaye said to Rabba, L'didach kasha, according to your opinion, it's difficult. And the Rav Nachman kasha, according to Rav Nachman's opinion, is difficult. Meaning each one of them said that it's only if they collect one of the two items that the Bechor will take a double portion from this loan that's written in the document, but the other one not. So Abai says to Rabbah, both of your interpretations are difficult. And as the Gemara explains, L'didach kasha, according to you, Rabbah, that you said only if they collect land does the Bechor take a double portion, but not when they collect money, it's difficult because, as the Gemara continues, topic of Kaf Chaf Heim and Aleph, why is it that by money you say that Bechor does not take Pishnah a double portion? Must be the reason of your opinion is because the lav hanimoi is shavik avun. These are not the monies that the father left over. Father, what the money that he lent is spent. The money he's getting back is other monies. So the father was never muchzik in that. So you can't say that that's going to be something that the father had at the time of the death, and that's why the Rabban would hold that you cannot collect, the Bechor does not take a double portion on that. And that is Abaya, but karka nami lav ho karka shavik avurin. But this land also, the father never left over at the time that he died, because if the borrower would have wanted to, you're right, there's a shibud, it's owed, and there's a lien to it to the lender, which is their father who passed away. But if the borrower wanted to, he could have paid back to the Yisaimim or to their father with monies. So it was never muksik to the father. The father never had any ownership rights in it, and therefore, that case also, then you should agree that the Bechor should not take a double portion. But moreover, ha'atu da amrit, you yourself said, or like other Gersois have, ha'amar mar, but the master said, meaning referring to Rabbah, which, and this refers to the story that the Gemara is going to bring later on regarding the certain great-grandmother, which she had a great granddaughter, which was her son's son's daughter that was married to her husband, which was fit to inherit a certain inheritance, which as the Gemara will explain what this story was. Now, ultimately, that great-granddaughter passed away, and only then did her great-grandmother pass away. Then, the great-granddaughter's husband came and wanted to claim the inheritance of their great-grandmother as if, when his wife was still alive, which if his wife was still alive, she would have inherited the great-grandmother. So the Gemara brings that Shulchan Itam, they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, that the husband does not take that inheritance. The reason for that is because those lands are ro'u for his wife, meaning they were fit that the wife should have inherited if the great-grandmother would have died when she was still alive. But his wife ended up dying before the great-grandmother. And the halacha is that the husband does not take what's called bero'u, what's fit to have inherited, kibamukhzik, like something that his wife was already in possession of at the time of death. That's what the Gemara brings. Now, more of Abaye tells to Rabbi, you yourself said, as the Gemara will quote this later on, Mistaber Taima de B'nai Marava, you said that the logic of those B'nai Marava, those of the west of Eretz Yisrael, the Shulchan Mitam, what they said is logical, meaning that what they said, that the husband does not inherit because all he was Ro'u, but his wife, the great-granddaughter, was not Muchzik. The reason for that is because as long as the great-grandmother was still alive, her great-granddaughter had no rights in it whatsoever. And you explain why that is, because the ikod misavta vizavna, if the great-grandmother would have gone and sold those properties, which was part of this inheritance, as we'll explain later on, when the great-granddaughter was still alive, then zvina zvini, her sale would have been a sale. So we see that the great-granddaughter was never muchzik in it whatsoever. For the husband to go and say, oh, she was muchzik and I get the rights, it can't be, because you see that she could have sold it and she would have been allowed to sell it. Obviously, all the ownership rights was with the great-grandmother and not with the great-granddaughter, and therefore you said that their logic is correct, that the husband is only what's called bero'u from the wife and not muchzik. So therefore, asks Abaye to Rabba, the same thing applies in this situation too. Regarding the assets of the borrower, although they're fit for the lender to collect his debt from them, meaning these Yisraelim's father, but since it never reached the hand of the lender when he was still alive, so all it was at most was ro'u, fit for him to have collected from it. Because the reason why it's only ro'u is because had the borrower wanted, he could have sold these lands. And he could have paid back to the lender with money or with other lands besides for this land. And therefore, at most, this land is considered ro'u. And therefore, we know the halacha is that a bechor does not take bero'u. He does not take something that was fit for his one who's bequeathing to him, in this case the father, to take a double portion. So therefore, that's a second question where you yourself seems to complicate your opinion over here and seem to say that karka should not be allowed for the sons, for the bechor to take a double portion, because at most what it is, it's ro, and the bechor does not take pishnai by ro. So that's the questions Abai says on Rabba. Rav Nachman Kashan, he says the question of Nachman is also difficult. Who he had said that it's only if they collect land that only if they collect money, then the bechor takes a double portion. But not if they collect land. And that is Abaya, Mashna Karka Deloi. Why is there any difference when they collect land from the borrower, that then the bechor does not take a double portion from that loan? So what are you going to say? Because the Lav Hog Karka Shavakavum, because this is not the land that the father left over. Father never owned this land. He was never muchzik in it. And if the bechor does not take a double portion of it. But not the question is, Mois Nami Lav Hani Mois Shavakavun. But these monies are also not the monies that the father left over. The monies that he lent, which was left over from him, was spent already by the borrower. He's paying back other monies. So why that? Does Rav Nachman say that the Bechor takes a double portion if it is money? V'oid, moreover, another question that Abai says you could ask on Rav Nachman is that he considers money, which the father lent, which if they're getting paid back in money, more muchzik, so that the Bechor takes a double portion, more than land. On that, as Abaya, to the contrary, the opposite Rav Nachman should have said. Because actually, the land of the borrower is more muchzik to the lender than the money. Why? Because he himself says, same way Abaya asked two questions on Rabbah, and the second one was Rabbah's own teaching, he wrote the second question of Rav Nachman's own teaching. Ha'amr Rav Nachman himself said that Amar Rabbah Baravua, that Yeshayimim, regarding orphans, meaning the sons of the lender, Shagabu Karka, that if they collect land from the borrower who owes their father money, B'chayvus Avin, for the debt that was owed to their father, the halacha is, says Rav Nachman, that Baal Chayv, the creditor of their father, meaning here's where their father was owed money, but then there's a case where their father owes other people. So in this situation where the father was owed and owed people, so when they collect from the people that owed him, then the halacha is the creditor of their father, who their father owes money to, that creditor could go now collect from that land that the orphans collect posthumously from when the father passed away. They collected land from those creditors. Now, their father's own creditors could collect from them that land that they collected. Now, if this land was not considered muhsik in their father's property when he was still alive, then the question would be, how could their father's creditor collect from them that land? But if, let's say, orphans after their father's death would go ahead and acquire land, do you think their father's creditors would be able to collect from that land? But it's an explicit Mishnah Masechtas Bechari Tavdan Beizim and Aleph that a woman, for example, cannot collect her ksuba from ro'o, and the same thing applies to a creditor, where that although this is fit for the father to get, but it's not the father's yet. And moreover, the movable items of orphans are not meshubet to balchayv. If they buy a piece of land afterwards, it was never the father's. So therefore the question is, that you see from Rav Nachman's halacha, that obviously that the karka was considered muhsik, meaning the land that was owed to him by the borrower, was as if the father already had it. Now, since the father already had it when he was still alive, that's why his creditor could collect this from the orphans, because it was like the father already had it when he was still alive. But if it was only gotten after he was dead, then the Baal Chayv cannot collect that from the orphans who, let's say, so to speak, bought it or got it after he was dead. That they have no shibudim to that, they have no rights to. So obviously from Nachman you see that it was like the father did have the land. So it should be the exact opposite. Why does Rav Nachman say that if they collect money, oh, then it's like muhsik, then the firstborn gets a double portion. But land, not what is collected from the debtor. To the contrary, you see from this other halacha Rav Nachman that what's collected from the borrower, that karka, it's like the father already had that karka, that he was muhsik, and therefore regarding that case, to the contrary, Rav Nachman should say that then the bechor does take a double portion. So those are two questions Abai asked both in Rabbah and Rav Nachman. On that, Omalei, so Rabbi responded to Abai, and he says, Loi l'didi kasha, it's not difficult according to me. V'lo l'Rav Nachman kasha, it's not difficult according to Rav Nachman. The reason is because Rabbi tells Abai, me and Rav Nachman, we do not hold as we had assumed in the previous daf, like the B'nai Ma'arava, like those from the west, from Eretz Yisrael, what we call the Sholchu Mitam, that sent from there, that said that if there's a loan that's collected after the father's death, that the Bechor takes a double portion. We do not hold like that. Rather, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, that holds in the opinion of the Rabbanan, that the Bechor does not take a double portion by a loan. And actually, as the Gemara is going to paskin later on in Amud Beis, where it doesn't make a difference if they collect money or if they collect land, it doesn't make a difference, the firstborn does not take a double portion. Now, even according to Rav Nachman, which we quoted now, which Abai was asking from, that says that Yisayimim that collect land in their father's debt, then their father's creditor could go ahead and collect from them that debt. Even so, he agrees that regarding the laws of the firstborn, that land is not considered, that land of the Laiva is not considered muhsik to the Malva, to their father, and therefore the Bechor does not take a double portion, as the Gemara again on Amud Beis is going to paskin. So what's the reason then of Rav Nachman? If it's not considered muhsik, so how then can their father's creditor go ahead and collect that land? And that's why we're saying the Bechor does not take a double portion, so how could their father's creditor collect that land? So that is because the Gemara Pesachim Perkel Shah brings, in general, what's the halacha with a Bechor, with a creditor? What does that mean? So machlek is Abaya and Rava. Abaya says what's called the Mafreyuhu Gaiva. The creditor collects retroactive. Rava says, no, mekana la bahu gaiva. He collects from here on. What that means to say is when he finally collects, do we say that he already had from the time that it was owed to him as if he had collected it from then? Or, like Rava says, no, it's from now on, meaning that he's not considered he was muhsik from the time that it was owed to him, rather from the moment that he collects, then it's considered in the domain of that collector. As the Gemara there explains the reasoning of Rava, is because why we'd never considered always in the domain of the collector is because if the debtor had money, he could have removed the creditor with money. So it comes out that it's only really right now when he actually collects the land, this creditor, that it's as if it right now was only when he acquired it. That's the opinion of Rava. Now the Gemara over there asks on Rava from this teaching of Nachman Amar Rav Barvua that we quoted over here. And asks, what? But Rav Nachman said, Yisayim Shugavu Karka, regarding orphans that collected a land, that then when they collect it, then their father's own credit could collect from them. So the Gemara asks on Rava and says, if you're going to say like Abaya, that the collection is retroactive, so then for that reason we could understand now that the father, what was owed to him by his credit, by his debtor, is like retroactively, like the father always had it from the moment that he lent him, which was when he was still alive. So therefore you could understand, so it's like the father had it when he was still alive, that's what his credit could collect from him. Because it's like the father had it when he was still alive. But if you say like Rabbah who's holding Mikan La Bahu Gaiva, that the collection is only like what happens right now. So if it's only happening right now, that their father's estate is getting it right now, so it's like you same him that purchased a piece of land. And if you same person purchased a piece of land after the father's death, that's not Meshubah to creditors. So how could the father's credit collect according to Rava? And that the Gemara answers over there that no, there it's over there in Rav Nachman's Halach it's different. Because the creditor of their father tells the orphans, just like that borrower was Meshubah to your father, and that's who you're collecting this land from, that creditor was Meshubah to me too all along. And that's what's known as the Halach of Shibud Reb Nosson, which is when someone owes someone money and that person owes someone else money, that first person is like he owes that third person already. And that answer is a very reliable answer. And the reason for that is because when we have Rava with Machlekes with Abaya, Halach is always like Rava in Kadrus to Abaya, except for a few exceptions. And he's the one who interprets the Halacha of Rav Nachman like that, which is that no, the Halacha of Rav Nachman is not because we consider it that it's either like Abaya, that Lamafreya, or like we're saying over here, that it's like the father already was Muchzik when he was still alive. No, it's because of a different Halacha of Shibud Reb Nosson. So therefore, that's the conclusion what Rabba was answering to Abaya. So therefore, even according to Rav Nachman, land of the Loiva is not considered Muchzik to the Malva until it actually reaches the hand of the Malva. Now, the reason for that is, as we explained, because if the borrower had wanted to, he could have sold it up until this point. And the reason is because, like Rava said, Mikan La Bahu Gaiva, the collection only happens right now when it happens. So therefore, this that Rav Nachman said, that Kovu Karka Ein Loi, that going back to what the Machlokes Rav Nachman Rabba was in the previous daf, that if regarding a loan that's owed to the father of these Yisayimim, when they finally collect it after his death, if they collect land, then the Bechor does not take a double portion. But if they collect money, then he does have, explains Rabba, Taima de B'nei Marava Kamrinan, all we were doing, we were explaining the opinion of the Shulchan Mitam, of the B'nei Marava, that they hold, according to the Rabbanan, that in regards to a loan, a Bechor does take a double portion. Because they hold that the father is considered Muchzik regarding a loan, even though all he has is a piece of paper. But V'lan, Leisvirulan, that's what Rabba says, but we do not hold like that. Now, so that's what the Machlekes Rav Nachman and Rabba was, in how do we explain their opinion? But don't ask from our opinions. Yeah, both of them, Abaya had asked, but you hold like this and you hold like that. You're right, we do not hold like that. We hold that by a milva, that there is no Bechor taking double portion, no matter what the circumstances are. And regarding that, Halacha Rav Nachman, we explain why that does not prove that there's a muchzik. There is no muchzik whatsoever regarding a loan, no matter what is collected. But their machlekes was, in those who hold yes, what is going to be the case that they're going to hold that the Bechor does take a double portion? And that Rav Nachman came to say, that according to me, again, doesn't make a difference what they collect, whether they collect land or money, that the Bechor is not going to take a double portion, as we said in the previous daf, that it's a Kal V'chomer, because, which was the opinion of Rehudim Shmuel, which now we're explaining Rabba and Rav Nachman both are going according to him, not like the way we would explain the previous daf, that we're going in the Shalchut Mitam, which is, if the Rabbanu hold that even the Shivcha de Memela, which the father has some, like a cow, and then it has a calf afterwards, which no one invested anything. Even the other Rabbanu hold that the Bechor does not take a double portion, for sure a loan, which he has nothing, only has a piece of paper, but the actual money is not even by him, for sure the Bechor does not take a double portion. Rather, says Rav Nachman, according to them who hold that the Bechor does take a double portion by a loan. So on that, what Rav Nachman says, at least let them admit to me that, however, regarding land, if they collect land, that then Bechor does not take a double portion. Why? Because this land, the father did not leave over for them. As Gemara says later on Amud Beis, that Shalchu Mitam, another thing that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael had sent, was the halachas like Rav Anan. And Rabbah had explained their reasoning, because, which we'll explain shortly regarding this story with this great-grandmother, where from there we learn that the B'nai Marava do not consider the land of the Leiva muchzik to the Malva. So therefore, That's where Rav Nachman says, L'shitasim, to explain the Sholchu Mitam, you have to say that all they were talking about was if it's collecting money, not land, because otherwise you can have a contradiction in this opinion of the Bnei Marava. That's where Rav Nachman explains, Govu Karka Ein Loi, if they collect land, then the Bechir does not take a double portion, Govu Mois Yeshlo, but if they collect money, then he does have a double portion. But however, again, Rav Nachman himself does not hold to this opinion at all, but rather whether if they collect land or money is not going to have a double portion, as we explained. That's the way Rav Nachman is explaining. Now, Rabbah was also explaining it only according to the opinion of the Bnei Marava of those from Eretz Yisrael, which again, he was saying, according to me, it doesn't make a difference, land or money, the Bechir is not going to take a double portion like Yehuda Mishmul. And the reason for that is because the father was not muchzik, not in the land and not in the money. However, he was explaining, according to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, since they do consider the Bechir to get a double portion, meaning because the father is muchzik in regards to a loan, as we explained, that holding the papers like having collateral, like holding mashkin, like as if you have the loan in your hand, and therefore the Bechir is going to take a double portion. So that's what Rabbi said. You could say that it's only when they collect land that then the Bechir is going to take a double portion, because that's considered more muchzik than when they collect money. Because at least by land, you could say that that land was meshubah to the father when he was still alive. But regarding the monies, no specific monies were meshubah, which is movable items, and never meshubah to the father at all. So regarding money, at least there, let them admit to me the B'nai Marava, that then Bechir is not going to take a double portion. Now, this that the Gemara brings later on, that Sholchu Mutam, that they sent from Eretz Yisrael, and Halach is like Rav Anan, like Rabbi explained, that it's logical that the reason B'nai Marava is regarding that by land that is not mochzik to the Malva. So how is Rabbi explaining that that would be the case that the Bechir takes a double portion? So that's different, explains Rashbam. Because there for sure the halacha is that the husband cannot inherit, as we're surely going to explain this incident, because that's what's considered ro. It's considered what would be fit for his wife to have had that then he would inherit. But there was never any shibud whatsoever, not for the husband and not for his wife, these estates of the great-grandmother, because there was never any loan from the great-grandmother, from her great-granddaughter, or from her husband at all. And therefore, as Rabbi ultimately explains, if the great-grandmother would have gone and sold it, it would have been a total sale. In contrast to what Rabbi is explaining over here for the Bnei Marava, regarding the estate of the borrower, since ultimately there is a lien for the lender, if he would sell, it would not be a sale, because then the lender would be able to collect what was sold from the lekuches. So then it is considered like muchzik in the hand of the malva, and that's why Rabbi explains, if you want to say for the Bnei Marava that there is a case by loan, that then the Bechir is going to take a double portion, it must be by the case of land, where then the Bechir is going to take a double portion, but if they collect money, then for sure, says Rabbi, even the Bnei Marava would agree that the Bechir is not going to take a double portion. That is the explanation that Rabbah gave to Abaye to explain his opinion of Nachman, that it's not a contradiction in their own opinions, because you're right, they do not hold like this. They were just explaining the opposite opinions, that even qualifying their opinion would only be in one of these two cases, either Karaka or Mice. Now explains the Gemara Mice after. What is this case that we keep on quoting regarding the story of the great-grandmother? So explains the Gemara. The Huda Amalahu, there was a certain person that said to the people around them, as they continue to Medbeis, Nichsay L'Safta, which literally means grandmother, because that's the case, the one who was passing on, said, I want my properties to go to my grandmother, all my properties, whether it be his father's mother or his mother's mother, his grandmother, either paternal or maternal. Now, but he added also, Ubasra Liartoy, after my grandmother passed away, then I don't want her inheritors to inherit her, whether it be her son or her daughter or her father or a brother. Rather, after my grandmother passed away, I know I want to give it to her. After she passed away, I want my inheritors to inherit it, whether it be my son or my daughter or my brother, whoever is the closest relative from me. So that's what he had said. Explains the Gemara, Havyalei, now that person had one brata, he had one daughter, the Havya Nesiva that had gotten married, and Shchiva, and that daughter passed away, B'chaya Bailu, B'chaya Safta, when her husband was still alive, and when her grandmother was still alive, when her great-grandmother was still alive. Now, Bas the Shchiva Safta, after the grandmother, we'll call the grandmother because it was her father's grandmother, after the grandmother passed away, Asabal Katava, so then her husband came to claim those assets. Now, the reason for that is because at the time when his father-in-law, who had what had made his tzava, his command, was at that time, his daughter, meaning this guy's wife, was still alive. So it's as if his father-in-law had said that my estate should go to my grandmother, and after it should go to my daughter, who is Yartoi, who is my inheritors. So since his daughter, the guy who died's daughter, which is this guy's wife, had already gotten the rights then when her father had said this when he was dying. So now this husband wanted to go ahead and inherit his wife's rights in this estate now that the great-grandmother had passed away. On that, Amrav Huna, we have a machlokes. Amrav Huna, he said, this that the one who passed away said, ubasra, that and afterwards it goes liyarti, that this guy had said that afterwards I wanted to go to my own inheritors, not to my grandmother's inheritors. Says Rav Huna, v'ful liyarti yarti. His intention was even to my inheritors' inheritors. In other words, since he gave it to her to inherit, so then therefore his daughter inherited because she's in his inheritors. As the Gemara will actually explain this later on, whenever anyone says acharecha, meaning he says, look, you get this. When I'm passing on, you, my grandmother, you get this. But acharecha, after you, someone else is going to get it, meaning my daughter. When someone says acharecha, it's like he says me'achshav. It's like he's saying it right now. I want this to take effect right now. Obviously, it's not going to take effect right now because you're going to get it. And then when you pass away, it's going to go to my daughter. But it's like taking effect right now. And therefore, his daughter already merited it right then when she was still alive. So therefore, says Rav Huna, so her husband inherits his wife, which is what Rav Huna is calling Yarti Yartoi, the inheritors of the inheritors, as the Gemara explains this later on. Now, however, at this point, the Gemara doesn't know exactly what's the reason of Rav Huna. It's just that we see that he merited the husband, but we don't know until the Gemara explains later on what's the rationale of Rav Huna. Rav Ananamar, he disagrees. He says, no, liyarti, v'loy liyarti yarti. He said that after the grandmother passed away, then my inheritors get it, but not my inheritors' inheritors. So therefore, what he was saying when he says the basta liyartoi afterwards goes to my inheritors, what's for those inheritors that I have in the world at the time that my grandmother is going to pass away, for those people I'm giving my assets. For example, if let's say his daughter was alive, or his brother, or his father, regarding all those people, I call them yartoi, my inheritors. But not his daughter's son, which would be his grandson, as the Gemara proves later on, because that would be called yarti yartoi, my inheritors' inheritors, where their rights to inherit would only come because of his daughter's rights, meaning they would inherit his daughter, but not her husband, because he's also yarti yartoi, because yartoi was specifically said, those who come from my kayach, but not yartoi yartoi, who come from my kayach's kayach, which means, say, my daughter inherits me. Her husband doesn't inherit me. He inherits my daughter, who inherits from me, but that's not yartoi, and therefore that would not be that's not included in those people who have a right to inherit. So therefore, where there are no yartoi, there are no of my inheritors, meaning his daughter, after the grandmother passed away, because she actually passed away before the grandmother, and the only thing that's left are yarti yartoi, which are my daughter's child, my daughter's husband, so then the properties remain in the hands of the inheritors of the grandmother, because that would be similar to what we say, nichsei lach v'achrayich lapayni, when someone says, look, my properties are going to you, and after you're done with it, then it's going to go to that person, that if that second person passes away, then the inheritors of that first inheritor get it. As the Gemara says later on, which if the second person dies while the first person is still alive, then it doesn't go to the second person's inheritors, it goes to the inheritors of the first person. Says the Machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Anan regarding if the husband does inherit in this case of the great-grandmother or not. Is it specifically Yarti, and which therefore that's only if they're around at that time? Or is it even Yarti Yartoi, which even if the daughter's not around, her inheritors get it too, which is her husband or her child. Says the Gemara, Shalchu Mitam, this is the Shalchu Mitam recorded before, so they sent from Eretz Yisrael, Hilchasa Kavased Rav Anan, Halacha Vazak Rav Anan, but V'lam Mitam, but not based on his reasoning. What does that mean? So it explains the Gemara. Hilchasa Kavased Rav Anan, Halacha Vazak Rav Anan, meaning in this case that they were discussing, the Baal Lo Yaris, that in this case the husband does not inherit it, as we'll explain shortly, because it's Ro'u. It's fit for his wife to have had it. She would have gotten it. It's something that she should have gotten. But now that the great-grandmother is dead, she's not alive. So she never had it at the time that she was alive. And therefore, the husband's not going to get it, as we explained, because the husband does not get Biro Kibbe Muchzik. But V'lav Mitamei, but that's not based on Rav Anan's own reasoning. The Ila Rav Anan himself, because Rav Anan himself holds, Avagav Davele Bro Librate, that even if the daughter had a son, which is what's called Yarti Yartoi, the inheritor has as an inheritor, and that Rav Anan would say that son lo yaris, would not inherit, as Ravonan was being precise with the terminology, that he said that no, only Yartoi get it, but not Yartoi. So only this guy who was giving away his assets to his grandmother says, only if my inheritor is my daughter, but my inheritor is my daughter's son, that would not inherit it. And that says the Gemara, that's what the Shulchan and Tam are saying, Veloihi, but that's incorrect. Meaning we agree with him what he's talking about regarding the husband, but his logic would extend even to the grandson, that's not true. Because the Ilu Havale Bro Librate Vadiyar, says the Gemara, because if the daughter had a son, he most definitely would inherit. And the reason for that is because since he's fit to inherit this one who's giving away his assets, he's going to inherit it. Why? Because it's not only his daughter is considered Yartoi, his inheritors, his daughter and all her descendants, when there's no son, they take the place before any other inheritors. Because the grandson is considered Yartoi, because since he comes before all other inheritors, although he technically comes what's called Mikayach Kaychai, meaning his daughter is from his Kayach. His daughter's son is Kayach Kaychai, meaning from a secondary. But still, originally when he says Yartoi, he means any inheritor that would have been fit to inherit from the grandmother. And his grandson does have the right to inherit this man who had passed away. And he's before his father, his brother, his sister. So even so, that they considered, even though all these other people, this one who passes away, his brother, his father are considered Yartoi. And technically the son, meaning the daughter's son, is considered Yartoi. Even so, that grandson is before all of them. Because he is an inheritor that is fit biblically to inherit his grandfather. And that's why it's very normal to call him Yartoi. Because when we say the daughter, it's the daughter and all her descendants come before any other relative, meaning if there's no son. So therefore, says the Shulchan Mitam, that's incorrect from Ravonan. Yes, it's true that the husband's not going to get it, but not because of what he's saying. He's saying because the husband's Yartoi. That in its own right, let's say if there's a grandson, would get it. So then what's the reason why the husband is not going to inherit in this case? Not because he's Yartoi, because if this husband would have been fit to inherit this inheritance from his father-in-law biblically, then he would have been called Yartoi. Rather, it's Mishum, it's because he's not fit to inherit this. Why? To have it lay, because he is in regards to this money, ra'u. It's something that was fit for his wife to have inherited. But she was never muchzik, she never had possession of it because it never had come into our hands when she was still alive. And the husband does not take something that would have been fit for his wife to have, as he does have the right to inherit his wife, which he had already taken possession of. Whereas in contrast to a son, where he is fit to inherit his grandfather, for sure is going to inherit because this grandson is an inheritor of his grandfather because he takes the place of his daughter, and therefore the halach is like Rav Onan in regards to the husband, but not because of his reasoning, and therefore would not be like him regarding the grandson. So that was the story, the incident of the Husabsa that we kept on referring to, and that's what the Gemara explains regarding this opinion, what the halacha is, that the Shulchan Mitam that we also referenced before say, yes, the halacha is the Grav Anun, but not really based on his rationale. Yes, the husband will not get it, but not because of Yarti Yartoi, but rather because it's Ro and it's not Muxik. Now, however, the Gemara asks, now that we explained the reasoning of the Bnei Marava, that they said that the reason why the husband does not inherit it is because we consider these properties from the great-grandmother, which his wife should have inherited, but that's called Ro'u, so therefore he doesn't get it. So therefore asks the Gemara, so Machlal, the Rav Huna, so the inference is that Rav Huna, who the Shulchan Matam, the Bnei Marava, did not paskin like him, who he said that the husband does inherit, so the inference would be that Savar Bal Noitel Baroka B'Muchzik, that he would hold, obviously, because we explained that it's considered Ro, it's not something that the wife ever got, she was never muchzik, that it was fit for her to have got it, that, and he says the husband does get it, so what he holds that the husband takes what's fit to have gotten as if it was muchzik, but we don't never find such an opinion that anyone says that the husband takes Baroka B'Muchzik. That Amar Belazar says, and he comes to explain the reasoning of Rav Huna to answer this question. He says, Davar Zeh Niftach, this idea was opened up, meaning it was started B'Gedolim by the great ones, meaning referring to Rav Huna, who he's coming to explain. But V'Nistayim B'Ketan will be finished off by the small ones, meaning referring to himself in contrast to Rav Huna, meaning Rebbe Laz himself. How do you explain Rav Huna? Because Kaloima Acharecha, whoever says that, look, you're going to get my properties, which is this case with the grandmother. He says, the grandmother, you're going to get it. But acharecha after you, then my inheritors will get it. Explains Rebbe Lazar in the opinion of Rav Huna, is ka'ima ma'achshav dami. It's like he already said it should take place from now. So since he said, Ubastu liartoi, and after you, my grandmother, then when you passed away, we'll go to my inheritors, which in this case he only had one, which was his daughter. It's as if he said that right now I want to give the body of the land to my daughter. It's just that my grandmother will like eat the produce as long as she's alive. But then after she passed away, then my daughter's going to take it, or anyone that comes from her rights will take those assets. The reason is because Rav Huna considers regarding the daughter as if this was what's called Mahayoyim Alach Hamisa, that it's from today until after the death, where therefore this daughter is considered Muchzekes in these assets when she's still alive. So therefore, when the husband comes to inherit his wife, he is taking something that she was already Muchzek, although she never got it, but really the land really was owned by her. It's just that the grandmother was eating the produce as long as she was still alive, and therefore, explains Rav Lada, that's the reason why Rav Huna, why he says the husband will get it. You're right, it's not Ro, it's actually Muchzik. The daughter already got it from the moment that her father had said that Basra Liartoi, it was like as if he said it to take place right then. Now, however, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Mistabra, and we quoted this also previously, Mistabra time of the B'nai Mar Rabba. It's logical, the reasoning and the rationale of those of Eretz Yisrael, that they disagree with Rav Huna, and they considered this property from the great-grandmother as Ro'u regarding the daughter and not Muchzik. Because he cannot say that it's as if he said her father that it should take place me'akshar, that it should like as if the daughter owns it right now and the grandmother could just use it and as if she's just using the payers, the produce and its utility. Explains Rabbi why. Because the ikadim sabta bezavna had the grandmother in this interim period when the daughter was alive and she was alive, had the grandmother gone and sold this properties, zvina zvini, her sale would have been a valid sale. And therefore, when the grandmother would have passed away, even if the daughter would have been alive at that time, she would not have taken anything. As the Gemara Ksuba says, and it's brought later on Kuf Lamed Zayin Min Aleph, when someone says, Nichsei Lach, I'm giving my properties to you, Ma'acherecha L'Pani, after you will go to that person. If the first person goes and sells it, the Gemara says, Masha Macha Macha, what that first person has done is done. And the second one only has what is left over from the first person. And if the first person doesn't leave over anything, the second one doesn't take anything. And therefore, the husband says, Rabba, like the B'nai Rabba, cannot inherit his wife, because his wife was not Muchzik at all in these properties when she was still alive. Because, as we find, the grandmother could have totally sold it, and therefore, you see that it's not owned by the daughter, because if it was owned by the daughter, the grandmother would not have been able to sell it and get away with it. In contrast, when you have a gift of Mahayoyim Alach Hamisa, when then it is considered owned by that person, the second person, then of course the husband would have inherited, but that's not the case over here. So it comes out that even the body of the land is not muchzik to the daughter as long as the great grandmother is still alive, and therefore, even when the grandmother passed away, if the daughter is not alive, the wife's not going to be able to give over those rights to the husband to get it. And therefore, Rabbi says, logical, the paskin like the B'nai Eretz Yisrael and not like Rav Huna. Amar Papa, he concludes a lot of the teachings that we had mentioned. He says, Hilchas Halachas as follows. Ein habal noitel baro, the husband does not take what's called ro, and what we're talking about over here is clear-cut ro. For example, to inherit his wife when she's already in the grave, which is some inheritance that she would have gotten had she been alive, which she's only getting now after she's dead. On that, Rav Papa is coming to teach us that the husband does not inherit that kibbe muchzik as he does inherit something that his wife had already taken possession of before she had passed away. Now, the reason for that is because everyone agrees in such a case that the husband is not going to inherit it, as the Gemara had brought earlier in the Kufi Gimel Med Aleph, as we learned out from Givas Pinchas Benoi, which we saw that there was a case that Pinchas, his son, had from Elazar, had a certain inheritance. Where did he get it from, if not from his father? So we said that that's the case regarding a husband, since it was only Ro'u, the husband doesn't get it, rather his son got it. Now, the reason for that is because Rav Huna only disagrees in the case of Acharecha, as Rav Elazar had explained, because he said, whoever says Acharecha, it's like he says it should take place right now. But it's clear-cut Ro'u, there no one disagrees, the husband's not going to take that as an inheritance from his wife already passed away. Now, however, regarding a different row, which we had this Machlokes Rebbe and Rabban in the previous daf, when we had mentioned it regarding the firstborn. For example, let's say when you have just the small small grass that then grows and later on to have the ears, or you have a day tree that's starting to blossom, but you don't have any fruits, and only after the father's death do you have these dates. That Rav Papa was not coming to say that the husband does not take a double portion of that. To the contrary, in that case, the husband most definitely does take
an inheritance from that. Because when the wife passes away, the husband inherits all the properties that the wife was muchzik in at that time. So whatever grows after the wife's death is growing in his own domain. Because this that the Rabbanan disagree, and they talk about over there in the case of a firstborn, that's a different reason, as the Gemara said on the previous daf, because the Torah talks about the portion of the Bechor when it mentions losses lie. It talks about it in the term of a gift, which is only something that the father has at the time that he dies. But regarding the husband, you can't say that because he's the only one. He's the one who inherits his wife. Moreover, actually, even the firstborn himself, in such a case where, let's say, there was no other inheritors and he's the only one that inherits his father's property, of course, everyone would agree that he inherits everything, even the shvach that is roh to come, because when it's mashbiach, it's being mashbiach in his own property. It's only when there's other brothers we say that regarding a double portion that he doesn't take, and therefore it's not regarding that that Rapab is saying that the husband does not take baroka b'mukhsik. He's talking about a clear-cut roh that the husband does not take an inheritance from that. Moreover, a firstborn does not take a double portion in what's fit for the father to have had, but he doesn't have right now, as something that he has right now, which is like the opinion of the Rabbanan. For example, what we call Shlufufi Vavatamri that we just described before, because the Rabbanan hold that the name changes through the Shvach after the father's death. It's like something totally different. In contrast to when there's a palm tree which just gets a little bit thicker, or when there's a land and then it just has more fertilizer, where it's still the same thing it always was, that the Gemara already described, that everyone agrees that then we're not considering that ra'u, and the Bechor would take a double portion even in that increase in value. But regarding a case of, let's say, when there was grapes that were harvested, that says Rashbam, the Bechor does not take a double portion, even according to Rebbe. Because even though the name didn't even change, but since this was an increase of value that was caused by the Yisayimim, because they did the harvesting, everyone agrees that if there was that was an investment that was done by the orphans, that the Bechor is not going to take a double portion in that increase in value. Now, however, where the Bechor dies when his father is still alive, that says Rashbam, the children of the Bechor inherit that portion of the Bechor of their father with their father's brothers, again, which is similar to this, the halachas of B'nai Slavcha that we already explained this earlier in the parak, on the Kof Tehazayin Amad Beis. Moreover, continues Rav Papa, another halacha, neither does the firstborn take a double portion in a loan, and that's even if it was documented in a document, which we had a long discussion about this regarding, do you collect double portion loan? Does it depend what's collected? Rav Papa says, no, the Bechor does not take a double portion of loan, whether there's land that's being collected from that debt or whether it's money that's being collected. And the reason for that is because neither the land nor the money was ever left over to them by their father. Rather, it's considered roh, something that was fit for the father to have had, but he did not have at the time that he passed away. Now, however, the Rashbam does point out, but if the father had a mashkin collateral for that debt, then even according to Rav Papa, the Bechor would take a double portion, as the Gemara in Gittin Taf Lamed Zayin Manav tells us, that a Bechor, a creditor, this person, the father who passed away, it's like he's kind of the mashkin, as if he owns it, and therefore the father does have that in his estate when he passes away. The last halacha Rav Papa concludes with this, we continue the topic of Chavav Manav, is Umil Veshe'imai, that a loan that is with the firstborn himself, meaning if the firstborn had borrowed money from his father and he owes money to the father, so though that we just described that regarding a loan, it's considered ro'u and not muhzik, but in this case where the son himself, the firstborn himself, owed a loan to his father, that says Rapapa then palgi. There, the portion of the Bechaira will be split amongst all the brothers, meaning the firstborn himself will hold on to half of that. So let's say we said there's five brothers and there's a firstborn, so we make it into six portions. That sixth portion, half of it's going to go to the Bechor, the other half is going to be split amongst the other brothers. Why is that? Because this is what's known as mamon hamotel b'sofek, which is chalken. When you have money that's in doubt, we don't know what the halacha is, then we split it. What don't we know over here? We don't know if this loan is considered as if the father was muhzik in it. Why? Didn't we say loan the father's not muhzik? Because the firstborn wants to be meshabed his nechasim that he owns, which there's a lien on his properties that he owns a loan to his father. He wants to totally give over a full-fledged chazaka that his father should be muhzik in his assets for the loan that he owes him, because he wants his father to be muhzik in this loan, because then when the father passed away, since he's muhzik in it, then he'll take a double portion and then he'll get a double portion, meaning we're talking about this loan, which we said for the five sons, whatever, let's say this, the son owed the father $1,000, so we split amongst the five sons, it should be split equally, but we're saying we're going to make it into six portions. That six portion, we don't know in that loan that they're collecting if it takes a double portion or not, because maybe he was machzik his father as if the father was machzik in already, and he knew that he wanted so that he could get a double portion in the loan that he owed to his father. Or maybe, do we say that no, it's no different than any other loan, and therefore the father was not mochzik, and therefore the first one does not take a double portion. Since we don't know what that halacha is, therefore, says Rav Papa, they're going to divide it like any safek that's with mammon, that halacha is going to be chalken.